are listening to The Bobby Hill Report. Good morning, y'all. This is Bobby Hill of The Bobby Hill Report. Today is October 16, 2020, and it's about 6 after 8. Headlines today and markets. Markets are up on the hope of a vaccine from Pfizer for the pandemic, the coronavirus, COVID. So across the board, futures looking good. Headlines, everything's about the alleged town halls that took place for Biden and Trump. Apparently, I didn't watch, but apparently Biden, it was more of a town hall, and for Trump, he was pretty much debating the moderator and getting selected town hall questions, which is pretty typical. You don't want to throw too much at a man who cannot think properly and put together a proper sentence. And nobody's perfect. Nobody is perfect. And he's got a condition. He's got a condition. But that's no excuse. He shouldn't even be there anyway. But yeah, it's all over every news network. And so, really, I want to talk about news from yesterday. I want to talk first about this China-Taiwan-US situation. And I don't know, most people probably don't know that there is a situation. But for some time now, the United States and Taiwan have had a kind of a neutral relationship going on, because Taiwan and China have been good up until, I guess, recently. And the problem is Taiwan is like, look, China, we're going to do our own thing. We don't need, you know, communist big brother of Asia to be, you know, to take care of us. And China, the CCP, they don't like that. They want power. They want control over the region. Which is why in the Korean War, the Vietnam War, China was involved. Not as much as the U.S. was, but they were involved. And so, I guess the point that I'm trying to get at is that U.S. involvement usually ends up turning things really bad. And in a Washington Post article titled, "Would the U.S. Protect Taiwan from China? Taiwan's new envoy hopes for clarity." Because there has been a major lack of clarity between the U.S.-Taiwan relationship for so many years. Would we? Probably. Should we? Probably not. I guess it depends on who's leading the country when and if that situation arises. I guess Trump, according to this article, has already talked about providing arms to Taiwan, which is kind of how Vietnam went in the beginning for us, just, you know, providing, advising. And so in China, I don't know, I don't know if they want a war, but they'll definitely participate in one. I believe they don't want anything to go down on their home turf, so they want another proxy war, if that's what they want. I'm not saying they want that, but they would prefer it. And same with the United States. We don't want war on our home turf either. So anyway, there's you know, that's something we need to kind of keep an eye on, because it's, you know, U.S.-China relations, obviously, there's tension, and I guess it depends on how you look at it, because if you ask Trump, there's a great relationship there. And I can see why he says that, because he's able to negotiate with them, the way it seems anyway. But being able to negotiate with someone, or especially a communist party, I think is different than having a good relationship with them, because they're going to try to play you just as hard as you play them. I'm not saying Trump has done a bad job of it, but there's a lot more going on. The debt we owe them, and I get that feeling that they're going to want that money, and if they don't get money, they're going to want it somehow. And I've said for years that, you know, we live on prime real estate in this world. I don't think China would have a problem taking certain areas of our country, especially the pro-socialist communist regions in California, Oregon, and Washington. And it's so convenient because they're on the coast. They can, you know, easily be occupied, you know, post-election if Biden or if Trump wins and all the leftists go crazy. They're like, oh, well, you know, we want a communist regime and all this. And China's like, oh, here we are. Well, it just so happens you owe us money. I don't know. It sounds crazy, but it makes sense. And when it happens, I feel like the media, they're going to play it down so hard. It'll be ridiculous. But I think I'd like to move on from this topic. And I'd like to talk about the virus, the China virus, COVID. And for the last several months, I've just been observing. I've watched a lot of the White House press coverage. I don't really watch a lot of mainstream media, but I catch it on social media, Facebook, and I follow business pages and stuff. So, and they're always talking about, you know, potential vaccines and cures and therapeutics and all this stuff. And a friend of mine on Instagram had shared an article from Forbes from 10 years ago titled "The WHO Faked Pandemic and Is Now Lying About It." The pandemic they're talking about was the swine flu. Now, let me say, after my friend shared the article, I had passed it around to a couple people. The next thing I know, Forbes pulls the article, a 10-year-old article. Why? And it was good. It was good. They made a very good argument about why our friends at the World Health Organization would fake the pandemic. And, you know, it went on to talk about the leftist agenda, social justice, all that malarkey. But how they did it, it's actually quite simple. You're basically saying, you're changing definitions of words like what a pandemic is. A pandemic, apparently, if I'm not mistaken, is based off of the number of deaths that occur. But for their purposes, they changed it to the number of cases. And that's easy. Because just like with COVID, people take tests, and you know, the government has admitted that the tests aren't always accurate. There are plenty of false positives out there, you know, just as many as false negatives, I guess. But people don't talk about false positives. They don't want to, like, especially the left. They're like, oh yeah, we've got this deadly virus here, and acting like people are dying in the streets, or, you know, dying in their homes, and I just don't see it. I don't see the pandemic. The media, they create the pandemic. They work. I'm not going to say it is a conspiracy, but yeah, they work pretty close, I think, with our friends at WHO and the CDC. And they spread the fear. But yet, people like me, who want to try to spread truth, are somehow spreading fear. People are manipulated into believing that. It's the opposite. Just because I don't have millions of dollars and I'm not a doctor, which is funny. You know, I get that a lot. Well, you're not a doctor. You're not a scientist. Now, while we're on the subject of the power of media, I kind of want to switch gears towards social media and the power that social media, mainly the people who run the social media sites, the power they actually have. And what I'm referring to is their ability to control and manipulate information, especially when it comes to elections. Excuse me. And I think that it's a more serious topic than most might think. Now, as a libertarian-minded person, I believe in freedom of speech, freedom of press, but I think this is a big but social media companies like Twitter and Facebook, they have a lot of users, a lot of people rely on them for their information, and they know that. But they also know that their power is protected by the First Amendment and the Fourth Amendment. Right to privacy as a private company, essentially. At least that's how I view it. And I was actually listening to Ron Paul's Liberty Report, and he was talking about this. You're probably going to get sick of me talking about Ron Paul. I'm probably going to mention him a lot throughout the many podcasts. But he brought up a good point that it's a touchy subject, because the influence that these companies have, I mean, they can make you, I'm not going to say make you vote for a particular person, but they're going to make you think a certain way. They will. That's what they do. And the fact is that social media, you know, Facebook and Twitter, they've got tens of millions, if not over 100 million people who use their platforms. So, yeah, I mean, I don't think we should have government intervention. Obviously, that's the opposite of what we want. But people need to be mindful of the manipulation. And I don't know. I don't know how people are going to break out of the excuse me, out of the shell that it's a collectivist, a communist agenda is what it is. I don't want to sound, you know, gloom and doom, but I'm not a fan of communism, collectivism, and I'm definitely not a fan, regardless of who it is, media manipulation. I'm not a fan of the lamestream media, as I like to call it. Man. So, we're about to the 15-minute mark, and I think I'm gonna cut it off here, because I'm gonna start doing two podcasts a day, one in the morning, one in the evening. Keep them short and sweet. And if you have any feedback, you can hit me up at the Bobby Hill Report at Outlook.com. The Bobby Hill Report at Outlook.com. And, you know, just tell me what you think. Tell me if you think I'm crazy or wrong or right. That would help. But keep listening. And I always get this throat thing when I'm trying to talk and record, and it sucks. But I appreciate you listening, and if there's anything going on that maybe I'm not seeing, something that needs to be brought to my attention that I can look into and do a little report on, you know, let me know. Don't be afraid to reach out. And I think that's it for today. Thank you for listening to the Bobby Hill Report.